seated. Well, good morning, and welcome to the first case of the 2015-2016 term. Before I call the case, I want to let you all know that the court has been concerned in the past that sometimes, though the lawyers are very observant of being quiet when the red light goes on, sometimes our questions go on and on beyond the time allocated, and one party or the other may believe it's unfair that one side then gets to argue or explain their position more fully than the other side. So we are all going to try this year very carefully that when the red light goes on, we are going to observe that as well. So if you see me trying to urge my colleagues to conclude so that both sides have the same amount of time to argue, that's the genesis for that urging.
So. We will try, but don't confuse efforts with results. So having said that, we've tried before.
Okay. The first case today is State versus Iverson, case number 14, AP0515FT. Counsel, are you ready to proceed?
Please do.
May it please the court and Mr. Veenstra. My name is Donald Lataraca. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the state of Wisconsin. The question before this court is whether an officer may stop an automobile and seize its occupants following the officer's observations that someone inside the automobile violated a civil non-traffic forfeiture offense. In this case, the Court of Appeals decided that Trooper Michael Larson lacked authority when he stopped Mr. Iverson's Jeep following Trooper Larson's observations that a littering violation had occurred. The state respectfully disagrees with the Court of Appeals' decision, and the state's position is twofold. First of all, Trooper Larson acted within the scope of his lawful statutory authority as a trooper when he stopped Mr. Iverson's Jeep based upon the observation of a littering violation. The second point is that Trooper Larson acted in a constitutionally reasonable manner. That is, he stopped the car either based on probable cause or reasonable suspicion that a traffic violation had occurred.
That a traffic violation had occurred?
I'm sorry, that a non-traffic violation had occurred. Thank you. The state seeks the following relief in this case. First, it asks this court to reverse the Court of Appeals decision. And second, it asks this court to remand the matter to the circuit court with instructions to reinstate the charges against Mr. Iverson. I'd like to first focus on the statutory questions, that is, the authority of the trooper to act for the violation that he observed. And then after that, I will turn to the constitutional questions. The facts in this case are fairly straightforward. Trooper Larson was working in La Crosse late or early morning hours in September of 2013 when he observed Mr. Iverson's Jeep. He saw the Jeep moving down the roadway, drifting within its lane. He watched the Jeep. He saw it come to two separate flashing yellow lights and come to a complete stop, even though there was no reason or no other traffic coming that would prompted the traffic stop to prompted Mr. Iverson's to stop his vehicle. It was only after Trooper Larson observed the cigarette being discarded from the passenger side of the vehicle that he made a decision to stop it. At the suppression hearing, Trooper Larson was candid with the court and said prior to that point he didn't believe that he had enough grounds to stop that Jeep. In this particular case, the circuit court concluded that because the cigarette came from the passenger side, that wasn't that the officer was acting really based on a pretext. And that's what prompted the state to appeal to the Court of Appeals. While the record is relatively short in terms of what happened in the circuit court, the Court of Appeals history is a bit more arduous or tortured in the sense that there was an appeal by the state. The Court of Appeals, Judge Sherman, asked the parties to brief a different issue than what was raised in the court below. So there was supplemental briefing on the issue that the court framed, and the court framed the issue as follows. The dispositive question before me is whether an articulable suspicion or probable cause of a non-traffic violation is a sufficient justification for a warrantless seizure of a citizen. Following the Court of Appeals decision, the state moved for reconsideration. The court denied the motion for reconsideration. Note that the state moved for reconsideration on a couple different grounds. First, that the day before the Court of Appeals issued its decision in Mr. Iverson's case, another Court of Appeals judge issued a decision involving almost identical facts, a silver Jeep involving the discarding of a cigarette that came out of a passenger side of the vehicle that resulted in a drunk driving or intoxicated driving arrest.
Counsel,
in that case,
counsel, let me interrupt. Does it make any difference whether or not we're talking about reasonable suspicion or probable cause? You've used both terms several times.
In this particular case, and in light of Houghton, I don't believe it makes a difference that the officer either had probable cause or reasonable suspicion. As long as he believed that a traffic or a non-traffic violation was occurring, as long as he had at a minimum a reasonable and articulable suspicion, he had a basis to conduct a traffic stop to decide whether or not a violation had in fact occurred. In this particular case, the state's position is that the evidence is strong and actually based on the officer's actual observations of the cigarette coming out of the window and hitting the ground, that would provide probable cause. With respect to the statutory authority.
You're asking for both.
I'm asking for both, Your Honor.
Either one is going to do. And as I understand it, the standards you set forth is that it's either reasonable suspicion or probable cause, in that we're dealing with a forfeiture, not a criminal offense, not either misdemeanor or felony, and neither is possible here, unlike a crier. Is a crier where you had a choice, and that it was presence, that the offense occurred in the presence of the officer, right?
Yes, in this case, that's correct.
And that's the reason you require in the presence of the officer is that you're relying on Milwaukee versus Nelson and the Welsh case.
That is this court's holding in City of Milwaukee versus Nelson. That is that, in that case, it was a municipal ordinance.
And there's not a municipal ordinance here. There happens to be one, but that's not what you're operating under. You're operating under the state statute.
That's correct.
Did the trooper have the authority to arrest for municipal ordinance? Are you relying on 110.071A?
In this case, the state's relying on 110.07 to confer that authority on the state trooper.
And Qualls was an ordinance case.
The Qualls was an ordinance case involving a local municipal ordinance for littering.
And the issue in Qualls seemed to be the Houghton issue, namely that if the officer had a reasonable belief that he could do something under the law, that's good enough, even if he's wrong.
In the Houghton case?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you don't think that was, in effect, what the Qualls case was doing?
No, I think in the Qualls case, I believe that the Court of Appeals, Justice Neubauer, concluded that there was an issue as to whether or not it was a cigarette butt or ash from a cigarette that hit the officer's vehicle. But the circuit court in Qualls made a finding that it was the cigarette butt, and the Court of Appeals accepted that finding. And so I don't believe in that case it involved an actual mistaken belief on the part of the officer. there was a dispute as to whether or not the object being discarded from the vehicle, from the vehicle in Qualls was a, fell within the definition of litter as it was defined in that ordinance. I'd like to go to 110.07. It is the statute which gives the Wisconsin State Patrol and the troopers that work for it the authority to act. It's a statute that basically specifies that which those troopers may enforce, those laws that the troopers may enforce. It lists, includes any violation under 110. It lists several other statutes or chapters. It then lists, provides a laundry list of several different statutes that troopers are allowed to enforce, including Wisconsin Statute Section 287.81, which is the state's littering statute.
Would the result in this case be different if it wasn't a trooper?
No, because I believe that under Section 1B of 110.07, that statute charges law enforcement officers with assisting in the enforcement of this chapter. So, including, and it expressly provides for those officers, as well as judges, district attorneys, and so on, to enforce 287.81.
Counsel, would your argument be any different if the probable cause was obtained when there was no vehicle involved? Let me give you the fact situation. That is an officer, trooper, any officer, is at a gas station, sees a passenger smoking a cigarette, passenger out of the car, tosses it in the highway, then gets in a car as a passenger drives away. Is there authority to stop the vehicle?
I believe that the trooper would have authority to stop that vehicle, and I'm looking at 110.07 sub 1A sub 3, because that statute actually authorizes the trooper to stop a vehicle and enter any place where the vehicle may be stored or parked to examine the vehicle for violations of the law, or to stop vehicles while en route at any time upon a public highway to examine the same and make arrests, therefore. So under those circumstances, I believe that a trooper could, even if he observed the littering occurring by a passenger at a parked place, along the side of a roadway, not while the vehicle was moving, conduct the traffic stop. In this particular case, I do have one caveat that I wish to raise with respect to the state's argument. It's something that dawned on me as I went through this with colleagues, and that is the words "where applicable to highways" that appears in subsection 1, subsection A, 1. I interpreted it more broadly in my brief than perhaps it should have been interpreted. Those words, in my opinion, after again reviewing the placement of the ands and the commas and the sequence of those various provisions, appears that "where applicable to highways" qualifies or is focused on Chapter 350, which deals with snowmobile violations. That being said, this is a case where clearly the littering occurred on a highway. It was a public street. But I want the court just to be mindful of that the words "where applicable to highways" under that first subsection appears to qualify or focus on Chapter 350. And that makes sense. Anyone who's traveled the state roads in the winter knows that we have snowmobile trails that traverse highways or run alongside highways and so on.
Give me an example where the highway would definition would mean that you couldn't stop a car for an ordinance violation or a forfeiture.
Well, in this particular case, I'm sorry, I don't quite understand the court's.
Well, you're making a fuss about what does highway mean. So I want you to give me an example where you want to stop a vehicle, but you couldn't because it's not related to the highway. That's all I want to know.
In this case,
go ahead.
In this case, the In this case, I should point out that the littering statute allows the trooper, or the littering statute actually extends 287.81. The broad prohibition prohibits littering both on highways as well as on private property. And so as I read 110.07 in conjunction with the littering statute, I believe that the trooper could, if he observed littering occurring, conduct a stop even if it occurred on the private property.
So to jump on to Justice Bradley's example, the guy puts out a cigarette on his own driveway, puts it onto the driveway.
Well, but if it's his own driveway, it's his property, and I'm not, I don't, I, the officer may not know that at the time he makes the observation.
Well, he's observing it. So you can litter your own property?
I didn't think about the littering statute in that context. I'm not sure.
Does the authority of the officer always depend on a statute?
It appears, as I went through this, that we always have statutes that seem to authorize officers to act. And obviously the sheriff is a type of officer whose powers are vested through the Constitution. And it's interesting that in Chapter 110.07, a trooper actually has the powers of the sheriff in enforcing the laws specified in subsection 1, which would include the littering statute. And again, that ties back to Chapter 59.28, which deals with the powers of the sheriff. The cases that I've looked at, there always appears to be statutory authority for the officer to take the action that he or she has taken, whether it's enforcement of the traffic code provisions that were present in Poppy or some of the other traffic cases such as Houghton, or whether it is, for example, in the City of Milwaukee versus Nelson, which was a loitering ordinance, and there again, Chapter 800, which governs municipal courts, municipal procedure, authorizes officers to make arrests for violations of ordinances. So, in this case, I think if the court's going to decide the case and do so on the narrowest grounds possible, it's the state's position that there is statutory authority for the trooper to make traffic stops for littering violations.
So would your position be then that if a state trooper saw a civil violation of a forfeiture and it wasn't covered by something in this statute, 110.07.1a, the trooper would have no authority, even if he clearly saw a violation.
That's one way to read the statute. I note that there is another subsection, sub 2M, which says, in addition to the primary powers granted under subsections 1 and 2, any officer of the state traffic patrol shall have the powers of a peace officer under section 59.28, regardless of whether the violation is punishable by a forfeiture or a criminal penalty. So that language actually appears to be broader in terms of the power or authority that's conferred than the language that appears in subsection 1A.
But the statute is awfully clear in saying, yeah, but the primary authority and the primary function of the state trooper is traffic.
That's a fair statement. Or things relate, if it's not moving violations, it's other types of conduct related to the operation of vehicles on roadways.
Okay, we spent a lot of time on the officer's authority, but we're dealing with a solid waste statute. And under what provision in solid waste do you fit the cigarette butt?
In this particular case, solid waste falls within one of two terms. It either constitutes refuse.
Solid waste, you mean the cigarette butt?
I believe that the cigarette butt would constitute a type of solid waste.
Two sections or subsections.
And specifically with the solid waste statute, 280, the definitions in 287.81 take us to the definition of solid waste in Chapter 289, sub 33. And solid waste, again, it lists a bunch of different things that it means. Any garbage, refuse, sludge, other discarded or salvageable materials, and so on. Garbage, a cigarette doesn't, or cigarette butt wouldn't constitute garbage because that's material that results from the handling or processing, storage, consumption of food. State's position that it falls within the definition of refuse because refuse is a matter produced from industrial or community life and subject to decomposition. Or alternatively, it would constitute other discarded material, that is, material that results from industrial, commercial, mining, or agricultural operations and from community activities. And it's the state's position.
You come under community activities.
Excuse me?
You come under community activities. Is that your point?
Yes.
Okay. You have some time left, but you don't think we took this case to decide whether it comes under the litter statute, do you?
I don't believe that this court took this case to decide that. In fact, I don't believe that the circuit court had a problem with the notion that a cigarette could constitute littering. And in the circuit court, the court said that I believe, Trooper, I'm with you if the cigarette had come out of the driver's side of the vehicle.
You have 5 minutes left to your argument.
Thank you.
Deal with the Fourth Amendment.
Briefly, the state's position with respect to the Fourth Amendment is as follows, that it's reasonable for officers to act under these circumstances when they have authority. It's consistent with this court's prior decisions in State versus Popke. That is, a traffic seizure is reasonable if the officer has probable cause or reasonable suspicion to believe that a crime or a traffic violation has occurred.
And this is neither. Go ahead.
Excuse me, this is neither.
Neither.
Correct. But it's consistent with that. It's consistent with the court's recent decision in Houghton, again recognizing that we can have stops based on reasonable suspicion for violations of traffic, non-criminal traffic laws. And it's consistent with City of Milwaukee versus Nelson, which recognizes that officers may conduct arrests for non-traffic-related conduct that violates the city's ordinances.
This must be a familiar and regular occurrence of a forfeiture. Did you look at other states? What are other states interpreting the Fourth Amendment to be in this kind of case?
I didn't look at any other states in the sense of I looked generally, but nothing in particular. I think one of the things in terms of littering, because in some ways littering is sort of a hybrid in the context of what happened here. It happened on a roadway while a vehicle was moving. Arguably, some might say that's a type of a moving violation. It's not
under Wisconsin statutes.
It's
but not under Wisconsin
right.
statutes, which define traffic violations.
Correct.
Well, I found State of Minnesota versus Holmes, and in this case, in Minnesota, there was a traffic stop, and what happened was the officer was investigating a parking violation. He saw the car parked in violation of the parking rules, and car moved, but it wasn't going away and fleeing. And the question was, could you have a Terry stop when it was a parking violation? The court ruled no, couldn't. Court said that there was reasonable suspicion that there was an illegally parked automobile and that it had other prior parking tickets, but that's this kind of suspicion doesn't itself justify a seizure authorized by Terry. that Terry should be expressly limited to investigation of serious offenses. And that comes from Terry, and Lefebvre makes that point. And that a flaw with the state is that parking violation is not as serious as a traffic violation, and that a parking violation shouldn't authorize a Terry stop except if the person is attempting to drive off in, before the officer can issue the ticket, so that the officer has been stopped. But here, in this case, officer had all the information for issuing the ticket. What do you think of that?
I think littering is more serious than a parking violation in this context. I think littering, for a number of reasons, including the potential, especially with cigarettes and so on being discarded, I think it's reasonable for officers to make those types of stops in those cases.
What if it's a wrapper of a McDonald's burger?
Well, again, the statute focuses on any refuse. It's not limited to large-scale operations.
The reason I asked that wrapper of a burger question is that you were focusing kind of on the danger that is the cigarette butt and the attendant danger. The Nelson case, and saying, look, it's been recognized that you can... it's been long established, in fact, that a law enforcement officer may make a warrantless arrest of a person if the officer has probable cause to believe the person was committing an ordinance violation, right? That's what it says. It cites DeWelch, which I thought came out a little differently than that, but nevertheless, that's what the Nelson case cites to. But the Nelson case, in discussing whether or not you can, or an officer can make an arrest, or make a stop, rather. So you've got to look at the nature of the ordinance. And in Nelson, it was loitering, and there's concern for personal safety. So that's understandable. If it's a wrapper of a McDonald's hamburger, what concern for personal safety is there?
Well, I think any time someone in a vehicle adjacent to me has discarded something from a vehicle, whether it's a cigarette or a paper bag or anything else, it's distracted to other drivers. It can blow up and hit a windshield. And so from that standpoint, it has the potential to cause an accident.
Now, you've gone so far to say even if you were the passenger or driver were out of the car and discarded something and then get in the car, you can subsequently be stopped.
Yes, because I believe officers have to have the ability to enforce those laws. Thank you.
Would you add that to your criteria, that you can do the Terry stop if it's necessary to enforce the forfeiture?
I believe that if necessary to enforce a forfeiture, yes, it may be appropriate.
If it's not necessary because you already have the information, then you can't stop them. This is if he litters on the sidewalk.
Chances are, though, the officer will want to know who that person is and may not know that person's identity without conducting a stop.
If he knows the identity. Mm.
If the officer knows the identity and sees a violation, the officer may elect to write a citation and serve it later.
And then stop the car to serve it? Is that what you're saying?
Perhaps.
Okay, thank you.
May it please the Court, my name is Joe Veenster from the John Splitterty and Collins Law Firm, and I represent the respondent, Daniel Iverson, in this matter. I appreciate your time this morning. It's an honor to be here. I'm going to address some of the more recent questions because I think it reflects what I think was the reasoning for the circuit court's decision to grant the motion to suppress that I filed on behalf of Mr. Iverson, which is the touchstone of all stops under the Fourth Amendment, which is, was it reasonable? And I think it's there may be authority granted to troopers by the statute. In fact, The state did not address the authority in its initial brief in the Court of Appeals under 110, but, however, it did so in this court, and it did so in the motion for reconsideration it filed. But that grant of authority is extremely broad. In fact, it indicates that they can stop them at any time to examine the vehicle. And I think when you look at the context of the authority that's granted under that statute, you have to at least consider the Fourth Amendment implications, which I think are the reason the circuit court granted the motion to suppress, was she felt, Judge Gonzalez felt, that this was not reasonable, that there was no indication whatsoever that the cigarette butt that was tossed was a danger to anyone. I think an average person in the state of Wisconsin, maybe it's somewhat of a sad thing to say, but pulls up to an intersection in the state of Wisconsin and sees numerous cigarette butts sitting next to a traffic light that have been discarded by numerous cigarette smokers in the past several months, particularly after the winter when they're being cleaned up. And I think most of those people who are discarding their cigarette butts would be surprised that it would be reasonable to pull for a state trooper to pull them over for discarding that cigarette butt. It seems to be a norm among cigarette smokers to discard their cigarette butts in that fashion. Many cars today don't have ashtrays, and therefore they're either stuck in coffee cups, plastic areas in the car, or discarded out the window. So this was not a surprising event, and that's the reason I think that the court did not feel that the law enforcement officer was really stopping the vehicle here because of the cigarette butt, but rather had a hunch, given the time probably, that there might be something else afoot, and that's why the stop occurred, and she felt that that was not reasonable.
But pretextual stops are authorized. You see a broken headlight or you think that the lights aren't functioning well, and you can stop him even though you really want to see if he's been drinking. I mean, that's pretextual is okay.
Well, I with due respect for this court and its the recent decisions that just came down, there's nothing I can do about that per se under Houghton, that the law has been switched. I think that, again, I think people would be surprised that law enforcement can not know the law and then stop someone and have the stop still be reasonable. But that's the court's decision, and I can't at this point express anything other than
dismay.
Many people disagree with the decision. It was precedent that had been relatively longstanding in the state of Wisconsin, and there's other states that have come down differently. It is the law in the state of Wisconsin right now. This case is sort of an example where the circuit court prior to Houghton felt that it was a pretext. So I think that, to be fair, there was not a thorough analysis in the circuit court. It was more of a fairness view of the situation at the time. The Court of Appeals, after the state lost in the trial court, the Court of Appeals had the question that there have been numerous questions asked today about, which was, what is the authority for this? And I believe that the Court of Appeals was operating under the assumption that the Terry stop analysis would be the touchstone for any analysis underneath whether it was a traffic stop, an ordinance violation, or whatever. It had to be reasonable under the Fourth Amendment and authorized. The state subsequently, it's clear they cited the 110, which provides, as I indicated, the broad authority. However, I do think that authority does have to be analyzed in the context of the Fourth Amendment. And whether a stop for a passenger tossing a cigarette butt out of a car is grounds to seize all the occupants of the vehicle, I think, is a significant question.
Could I ask you, Justice Bradley referred to a McDonald's wrapper. Is it constitutionally reasonable to stop a vehicle when the officer sees someone in the vehicle throw out a McDonald's wrapper?
I don't think so. I know that the statutes indicate that law enforcement has authority to arrest someone for an ordinance violation. Okay, and the City of Milwaukee versus Nelson case stood for that proposition as well. The question is whether is still, granted there may be statutory authority, is it reasonable under the Fourth Amendment to seize all the occupants of a vehicle, including a, for all the officer knew, completely innocent driver for something so relatively minor. The officer could follow up later, could follow the vehicle, wait till they stopped, inquire of the passenger. There's numerous other things the officer could do under the circumstances other than seize the entire vehicle at that moment.
Is it?
Well, I recently took a trip, stopped at McDonald's, ate it in the car, and drove probably 150 miles before I stopped. Are you suggesting that if I had thrown it out of the vehicle, the wrapper, that the officer would have to drive 150 miles before stopping me?
If you were driving the vehicle, I think the law enforcement officer could probably pull you over under the circumstances, but whether the law enforcement could seize an entire vehicle, including an innocent driver, because a wrapper flew out of the window, I think that's a tough question, and I would say no. I think in this case we had one. I think the question is reasonableness, and cigarette butts are discarded on a daily basis on the street. I can tell you in front of our office, there's cigarette butts all over the ground, and our maintenance man has to sweep them up periodically. And the question is it reasonable to see someone? If the court feels that littering of a hamburger wrapper is of the type that would countenance and what most people would think would be a reasonable basis for a stop under the Fourth Amendment and the seizure of all the individuals in the car, if that's your view, given your understanding, I guess I think most people would feel that cigarette butts are discarded normally that way. It may be something that some people don't like, but I have to tell you, when I was growing up, both my parents unfortunately smoked. They're no longer with us. they could have been pulled over probably hundreds of times, I dare say.
Is it your argument that perhaps, or even if, there is reasonableness to stop the vehicle, that for you, the more nuanced argument is it was unreasonable to seize the driver in this case? I mean, you don't seek review. The state is seeking review. They framed the issue as the case as one issue, as I recall, and that is whether or not this stop is law enforcement can conduct a traffic stop when there is reasonable suspicion or probable cause to believe that a vehicle's occupant has violated a non-traffic forfeiture offense. So they have focused on the constitutional validity of the stop. You seem, in your arguments and in your brief, to go, in addition to that, a different focus, and that is the constitutional validity of seizing the driver here who was not the person who did the smoking and the tossing of the cigarette butt. I may not be right on this, so help clarify this for me, if you will.
Well, I do think that it is a little bit different for the quote-unquote innocent people in the vehicle. If the officer saw it come out of a particular window, certainly the officer wants to make sure the vehicle is actually stopped and parked. I think that's fair to say. But could the officer have approached the individual whom threw the cigarette butt out and asked him or her, did you throw that cigarette butt out? Yes? I'm going to have to cite you for it. Can you tell me your name and address and give them a citation? I suppose that's an alternative versus seizing all the occupants of the vehicle and asking all of them questions when they have particular knowledge of who tossed the cigarette butt. I guess I'd like to address one other area that this case is about.
Before you leave that.
Sure.
I thought the statute provided that if the driver permits the littering, then the driver is guilty of a violation of the ordinance. So if a passenger got rid of the butt, the state argues that it's reasonable suspicion to think that the driver permitted that.
Correct.
Therefore, it can stop the whole car and the driver.
Right. I think the state's position is, and I argued this in the trial court and statutorily, that there was no evidence of permission by the driver. And I asked at the hearing, in fact, did you ask the driver whether he granted the permission? And the officer admitted that he didn't. And the person in the back seat, in fact, I think if I recall the officer's testimony correctly, pretty much just admitted it when the officer approached the vehicle. That was me. And then the officer continued on the seizure of the driver and investigation that followed. So I made the argument that there was no evidence of permission. Now, I think the state's position is, if something flies out of a vehicle, the reasonable inference is that it was permitted. I don't necessarily agree with that, because how can a driver necessarily control what passengers do?
How could a hitchhiking violation be enforced?
I have to admit, I've never seen a hitchhiking violation. And
a statute, it's 346.29. I'm trying to think of other examples other than, you know, a McDonald's wrapper or a cigarette butt. I mean, if someone threw a bag of garbage out the window, would you say they couldn't stop them to issue a citation?
Well, that's why I was going to get to the point about this statutory examination of what actually constitutes solid waste. And I when I read the statute, I read it completely differently than the state, and I argued this in the circuit court. I read it that a cigarette butt doesn't qualify as solid waste. Refuse is defined specifically as things that decompose. I'm not sure about cigarette butts. They're sort of this, I'm not even sure it's decomposable.
Is your primary argument the reasonableness argument?
It's joint. That it's not reasonable to pull somebody, a driver over just because a passenger happens to flick a cigarette butt out the car. And there's no evidence of danger. Like in the Qual case, the cherry of the cigarette landed right on the windshield of the driver. It was sort of, I think, a lot more in your face than the evidence here, which was that the dead cigarette was ashed out the window and the officer saw it. There was no video of it. He just said the cigarette was discarded.
What I'm just trying to get at is I'm trying to figure out if your argument really is you can't stop a vehicle for a civil forfeiture that is non-traffic related, or if your argument is this is just a cigarette, but it happens every day. The judge was not wrong to kick this case.
I think I'll take either, but I appreciate the idea that if there's a forfeiture, what's law enforcement supposed to do if it sees it? Yeah. You know, I understand that.
Like your question,
if a law enforcement officer saw somebody pick up a hitchhiker, that is a forfeiture, I guess. I don't even know. Okay.
Well, you should know whether it's a traffic offense or not.
I'm assuming it's a traffic offense. If it's under 340.
Let's talk a little bit more about a different example. You see, you're in a rural town. Officers kind of know everybody. And you know that these kids are underage, but they can drive a vehicle. Can the kids just hold up beer cans and say, ha ha, you can't stop me, because that's just a civil forfeiture for underage drinking. It's not a criminal penalty. Could the officer stop the kids and say, hey, you're possessing alcohol. It's underage possession.
I certainly think that there might be a reasonable inference that can be taken there that an absolute sobriety violation is occurring.
Oh, but this is just for, it's not for that. They're not drinking it. They're just holding up, they're possessing it. It's just underage possession. It's not related to driving at all.
They're in a car, though?
They're in a car. Just possessing alcohol. Not drinking.
Yeah, it's just hard for me to get my hands around the idea that a law enforcement officer wouldn't think that they were drinking and there would be an arguable violation of that absolute sobriety that would countenance the stop or the seizure at that point.
So they'd have to think that they're driving or drinking, otherwise they couldn't stop for underage possession. Underage possession is a civil forfeiture only. I don't want to go down.
Yeah, and I guess I'm trying to imagine, too, where if there is a driver allowing underage individuals to drink or possess alcohol, that is likely a traffic or criminal violation, more than likely, that would countenance a stop under that circumstance, or a seizure, at least to investigate.
Except you can drive when you're 16, but you still can't.
There might be a multitude of potential violations, traffic, criminal, or otherwise, that would apply in that circumstance. I really think so. I get the broader subject here that you're asking, which is can any non-traffic forfeiture violation that law enforcement sees in a vehicle countenance a seizure? And I think what I'd like to present as a nuanced argument is it depends if the driver's involved. I guess if there isn't a driver involved, I'm not sure that it justifies the seizure of the vehicle under that circumstance. If there's other methods for the officer to investigate and cite the person, it's more reasonable in that circumstance.
I read your argument to be, one, I might not necessarily in this order. One, it might not be a violation of 287.
Correct. Yeah, I...
Two, if it is a violation of 287, it's bad under the Fourth Amendment.
Correct.
You could say, one, it's bad under the Fourth Amendment, we don't have it to get to the 37. Either way, you want to win. You have two ways of getting there, at least two ways.
Right. And I'll take your Minnesota case, too, if that one is persuasive for the rest of the court. I'll glom onto that one.
Well, there's a Washington State case that's similar to that also. But that case in Washington, give it to you in a second, State versus Day, 161 Washington 2nd. 889, and that was parking of a vehicle without an appropriate display of a permit, and it was a civil infraction, not a traffic violation. And the court said Terry exception doesn't apply because it's not a serious offense, and that Terry only applies to the serious offenses. But they thought this was unreasonable. But they did that under the state statute. The state constitution.
Do you think it makes any difference if a ticket goes with the vehicle versus a person? When you're parked in La Crosse and you get your meter runs out.
It's happened.
Do they have to, we've all been. Do they have to prove that you parked the car?
That's a vehicle.
That might be a good reason why you don't have to pull over the vehicle to give that ticket, right?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I do think it would be interesting to know if there was the passenger who was really the liable party. I mean, that for a forfeiture like, you know, even a village for ordinance like the one in Qual, the passenger was responsible. Should the passenger be the one that cited if the driver actually had zero to do with it? It doesn't seem fair otherwise. I'm assuming that that could be dealt with. With regard to the statutory argument, I do think that the state and Mr. Iverson have a different read of that statute. The state indicated that it believes that it would qualify as refuse, and I don't think it fits under that category because of that issue I talked about before, which is that I'm not sure it's entirely subject to decomposition. And the state also indicated that the waste treatment plant, water supply treatment plant, and air pollution control facility tagged along only with sludge under that statute. I'm not entirely certain about that. I think that, and perhaps I'm wrong about this, because I read that to go with the garbage and refuse as well, even though they are statutorily defined. There's also a section in there about discarded materials. Is it from industrial operations? This was from a guy in a car. I mean, is the actual material itself a product of industrial operations? What that exists in the world is not a product, you know. I don't, either it's everything or you have to limit it to some degree. To call this a community activity, one person smoking a cigarette, I think you're hard pressed to call that a community activity. Otherwise, everything is a community activity. Maybe that's the way the state would care to read it, because it would qualify everything from hamburger wrappers to, I don't know, a straw wrapper that would dissolve on impact with anything moist to qualify as something to form the basis for a stop. But I don't think that's how that statute should be read. I did want to address the City of Milwaukee versus Nelson case, because I do think it is somewhat of a issue in this case, because in that case they did indicate that the arrest and seizure for a mere ordinance was authorized through Section 800.02, Parent 6. But I do think that a close look at that case, as Justice Bradley indicated, would distinguish it from something like we have here in this case. In that case, the court was addressing the constitutionality of a relatively new Milwaukee ordinance and, for loitering. And when you look at the analysis, they were addressing how that would actually be dealt with from a law enforcement perspective. And they indicated in that case that the law enforcement would actually be able to interact with people on the street, and they could get feedback from them. They'd get their name and things like that. That's a lot different than a situation here where you wouldn't necessarily have a sort of you're walking down the street discussion with an officer that wouldn't necessarily turn into a seizure. A traffic stop is a lot different than perhaps a discussion in a park where they saw something that might be perceived as loitering type activity or might have been perfectly innocent, as in the City of Milwaukee versus Nelson case. In that case, they ended up finding a gun, I think it was what it turned out to be. But I do think the application of that authority in that case is a lot more nuanced than you could paint with a broad brush in the seizure of a vehicle context. I think it's a lot different.
Did anyone get a ticket for littering here?
Pardon me?
Did anyone get a ticket for littering?
I don't believe so. I don't really remember, but I don't think they actually ended up giving it to him. But I could be wrong about that. I apologize.
What was the offense charged?
The charged offense was operating while intoxicated and ultimately operating with a prohibited alcohol concentration. I'd have to look back at CCAP to find out, but I don't think he was actually cited for the littering.
In some ways, the analysis in this case seems to me can be somewhat willy-nilly. That is, as Nelson indicates, it's long established in Wisconsin that a law enforcement officer may make a warrantless arrest of a person for an ordinance violation. But as you start out your argument, reasonableness is the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment, totality of the circumstances. When I look at the Court of Appeals opinion, it is essentially that analysis, and I don't, when I say willy-nilly, I mean it boils down to whether or not the decision maker thinks
that tossing a cigarette butt justifies a Terry stop, which is generally focused on criminal activity. So although an officer can make a stop for an ordinance violation, reasonableness still is the touchstone. And it may be unreasonable to some for tossing a cigarette under the totality of these circumstances, but tossing a large garbage bag, as Justice Ziegler used in her hypothetical, might present a different result. And that's why I say it isn't just a matter the willy-nilly, and perhaps that's an exaggeration for emphasis, but it isn't just a matter of applying the words of what constitutes refuse, but rather, is it reasonable under these circumstances to employ the Terry stop, which has its foundation for criminal activity, is it reasonableness in tossing a cigarette butt? Tell me, you know, come back at me. Does it boil down to that, whether or not you can get four people here to say, boy, that's no big deal. It's not big enough to bring in the great state authority to allow a stop of a vehicle.
I was hoping for seven, but I'll take four. I think you're spot on, and I think that's exactly what the circuit court felt. If it wasn't articulated that way, I think that is exactly what the circuit court felt when the judge made her decision granting the motion to suppress and to dismiss the case, was that, in fact, my colleague is here from the district attorney's office who made the point in the argument in front of the circuit court, well, what if they were throwing a garbage bag out? She said, that's not what happened here. And I think it is. What's reasonable? If somebody's throwing a garbage bag out the window, everyone's going to hate that. If somebody's flicking a cigarette butt out the window, as long as nobody's in danger, I think that is a fair thing to put into it. In Qual, there was cherry all over the windshield of the officer. Who wouldn't be upset about that? Here, it was just discarded out the side. There was no evidence of fire hazard or anything like that. And it is what is reasonable. And Mr. LaRocca talked about his discussions with his colleagues in his office, and I've talked to many people about what do you do with somebody who throws a cigarette butt out? And it happens every day. What I said to some people was, is a state trooper who sees somebody walking down the street flick a cigarette butt out going to pull over and issue them an ordinance citation if they see it? It's never happened. In my experience, I actually submitted an affidavit to that effect that was uncontroverted in the trial court. It just doesn't happen. So how can you say something that really, if it's not something you would think is reasonable in that circumstance, why does it all of a sudden turn reasonable because a passenger does it in a car?
Well, maybe it is reasonable to make for, and it doesn't matter here, I gather, whether it was a trooper or a police officer or a deputy sheriff. You see somebody throw a cigarette butt on the sidewalk. That's littering, right? If you think that a cigarette butt falls within solid waste or garbage or refuse, you can make an arrest.
I think that's the state's position. I believe that's the state's position, yes.
Right. And that comes from Nelson, and Nelson quoted my dissent in Welsh, in which I raised the issue of when is it okay to make an arrest on an ordinance, right? And track the common law, and it's okay if it's within your presence, right?
Correct.
And so that fits Nelson, right? Cigarette butt, assuming that it's solid waste.
Sure. On that assumption, yeah, it fits within that basic framework.
So if he can arrest them on the sidewalk, why shouldn't he be able to arrest them on the car? Stop the car and make a seizure.
The only distinction I think that I could make is that the passenger did it and not the driver. And that's the distinction that would, you know, is it reasonable in the Fourth Amendment to seize everybody because of a minor violation by one person? Thank you.
With respect to the passenger argument, the state's position is as follows. Wisconsin cases, U.S. Supreme Court cases, recognize that a passenger can challenge the stop of a vehicle. So if a passenger can challenge the stop of a vehicle, certainly a passenger's conduct could prompt the officers to stop a vehicle. That whether the littering comes from the driver's side window or the passenger's side window, whether the other observations, the other statutes in play under 110.07, such as the alcohol violation, the discharging of a firearm violation under 167, whether it involves a passenger or a driver, it has the same harm. It's the same harm that the legislature decided to prohibit, and it's the same authority for the officer to enforce it. And with respect to the littering violation, the driver does have a responsibility, just as a driver has other responsibilities with respect to that vehicle that he or she is controlling, to make sure that other people inside are buckled up, that they don't litter, and so on. So it's reasonable for that to occur. Now, in this case, the officer, whether or not the officer had probable cause to believe that the driver discarded the cigarette when he saw it coming out the passenger side, certainly had a reasonable suspicion, probable cause that someone on the passenger side committed that offense, and certainly reasonable suspicion that the driver had not exercised the control that he's required to exercise over other people in his vehicle. And so under the circumstances of this case, the trooper's conduct was reasonable. If I may, this court obviously can decide this case on very narrow grounds. It can do it on more broader grounds. But in this particular case, what I would ask the court to do is to find that Section 110.07 of the Wisconsin statutes authorizes troopers to engage in the enforcement of certain laws, that littering is one of those laws that they're allowed to enforce, and that when an officer observes a violation of those laws, it is constitutionally reasonable for him to or her to stop that vehicle for the purposes of investigating it. Are the officers going to make an arrest for that littering violation? Chances are no, but they certainly are going to write a citation or issue a warning. And that under the law, that it's constitutionally reasonable for a trooper to act under these circumstances.
Counsel, you use the word littering under 287.81 sub 2. Well, that certainly covers more than just a highway. It also covers under A, deposits or discharges any solid waste on any other public or private property. So, that's a big definition. It's just not a highway. So are you saying here if a state trooper observed a discharge of a solid waste on private property when the person was out of the car, then got into a car, they could stop that vehicle? I'm not saying that's wrong. I just want to know how far you're going with this.
I think in this case, I think based on the language of the littering statute and its breadth in terms of its extension to any public or private property, I believe that a trooper could make a stop of a vehicle even if he sees a person in a field 100 yards away from the road, so it's not within the bounds of the highway. I believe that a trooper could take action and enforce that statute.
And stop a vehicle once a person gets in the vehicle. Under the statute, you might be right. Give me your reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment argument for that.
it's reasonable. Reasonableness, I think, has to be defined in terms of what we as a state, the people of the state, think is important. Littering is something that the legislature has seen fit to regulate. Littering is a statute, and it's a fairly broadly written statute when we start looking at definitions of solid waste. In fact, we actually differentiate penalties in the littering statute between any object and then what were solid waste and then large items. And so vehicles, aircraft, appliances fall within large items. So Wisconsin has decided as a state, as a matter of legislative policy, that these are important laws to enforce. And it's important whether it's small individuals who are engaging in the conduct or it's larger conduct involving industrial waste and so on. And so when the legislature has conferred that authority and the officer acts within the bounds of authority that's been conferred, the state's position is that the conduct under those circumstances is reasonable.
Well, what you're saying is that it's if the legislature prohibits it or authorizes the arrest, that's the end, because that's reasonable in Wisconsin. Now, there must be things that the legislature does that will violate the Fourth Amendment.
I think that legislative acts are entitled to a presumption of constitutionality, and I think in the context of this case, the law that's passed falls within the ambit of something that could be enforced in a reasonable manner.
And in your statement, you say, if an officer observes a violation, the trooper can stop to investigate. That covers reasonable suspicion and probable cause, non-traffic, right, and forfeiture.
Correct. It does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take a brief recess before we begin the next case.